9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Discussing everything about the afterlife and spirit world.
Hey, 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 everybody, and welcome to another episode of Life After Life with me, Sandy Byrne. In this episode, I want to talk a little bit about dreams, okay? It's a question that's asked a lot, and I just want to say upfront that I'm not a dream interpreter, okay? Dream interpretation is a specific modality, it's a specific training, and there's people that concentrate on it all the time, okay? All I can do is discuss dreams from the point of view of someone spiritual, someone who connects with spirit, and, you know, my life experience and experience of people that I've met throughout my journey. Okay, so if you're looking for more specific or maybe scientific or researched information on dreams, do check out episode 13 of the podcast. In that, I was joined by Paul Gill, who is a dream interpreter, okay, and he discussed a lot about the science behind dreams, okay. But as we know, spirit stuff is not very scientific, and there would be a lot of scientists that would argue with what I do and what we believe in, okay. But if you're here, you're a believer, and more than likely, if you're listening, or if the whole topic of dreams or discussing dreams appeals to you, you've probably felt like you've had some message or some contact or some communication from somebody in spirit, okay? And that's kind of what I want to talk about more so than the scientific part of it, okay? So let me start by saying, and I do have some notes here, so I'm referring to my notes during this because when I'm talking, I always forget, you know, what I want to say. So I do make some notes beforehand. OK, so bear with me if I'm looking at the notes. OK, so I do want to say that we all dream every night. Now, I've met people and they've said to me, I don't dream, or I don't have dreams, or I very rarely dream. OK, so first of all, that's not true. OK, we do know this from science. Everybody dreams every single night. You may not remember your dreams. You may have 25 dreams in one single night, because I believe the science says that dreams only last for maybe 2 or 3 minutes, even though it seems like it's all night long. Okay, so dreams are quite short. So you could have many of them in one night. You're not going to remember them all, but trust me, you do have you do have a dream every night, okay? So your mind doesn't rest. Your mind is kind of always on the go, okay? And, you know, if you're like me and you're a bad sleeper, you'll know this. My mind rarely switches off, okay? So it's always on the go. So now, I always say this because it's the rule that I use to try and figure out whether I've actually had a spiritual dream or if I've just been dreaming about memories or whatever, okay? Because we do have a part of our mind that holds on to a lot of stuff and throws it out to us again and again, you know, while we're dreaming, okay? We'll talk a bit more of that in a while. But so the rule of thumb that I use is that if you're actually having a spiritual dream, then you will wake up the following morning completely exhausted, okay? So you know where we've all felt like, oh, I haven't slept, or I feel like I've been running a marathon. I describe it as waking up in the morning feeling like I've done 10 rounds at Mike Tyson, okay? So we feel every part of our body is exhausted. Then you know you've had a spiritual dream. Okay, so whether you've been dreaming or connecting with somebody in spirit, or your soul has actually gone astral traveling, which is a whole other topic that I'll discuss in a different episode. Okay, but we can go astral traveling at nighttime, and that's generally when you get the feeling, you know, when you feel like you're falling and you wake up with a jump. Okay, that can happen because sometimes our physical body wakes up before our spirit has returned from its nighttime travels. Okay, and we always perceive it like we feel like we're falling because literally our spirit has to rush back into our body. Okay, so those dreams where we wake up feeling exhausted, there's been some kind of spiritual connection, astral travel, or whatever we've been doing at nighttime while our physical body rests, And those nights when you wake up and you feel so well rested and content, well, those generally would be ones where you've just been having memories of somebody, or you've been having nice relaxing dreams, because maybe that's what your mind and your body needed at that particular time. Okay, so we can just dream. That's totally possible. There can be signs in there as well, you know, and Paul will tell you more about those in the episode 13 if you want to go back and have a listen to that. I will put any links that I discuss on the show, I'll put them in the text box attached to this podcast. Okay, so I've spoken as well in the past about teams of spirit guides. Okay, so I discussed spirit guides as well in episode 32. So again, I'll put the link below. So I spoke about having a team of spirit guides and then just one communicator, because we do hear a lot of people saying, oh, my spirit guide is this, or my spirit guide is this person, or whatever. But everybody has a team. But rather than trying to communicate and talk to like 10, 15, 20 other people, you have one person that'll be the go-between and that'll bring all the information to you. So generally one guide that you would build up a relationship with, okay? But again, episode 32 for more detail on spirit guides. However, within this group of guides, you will also have a dream guide, okay? So there is a spirit guide to help us literally with everything in life. And we have a spirit guide that will help us get the messages that we need to get, you know, get the warnings we need to get, all of these things, okay? So that's something that you can ask for. You can ask for specific messages in your dreams. You can ask to connect with specific loved ones in your dreams. You know, you can ask, build up a relationship with your dream guide, okay? So, dreams. Why do we dream? What are they about? Well, dreams are always meaningful. There is always a reason to your dream. Okay, you may not always figure it out, but there is a reason behind every single dream. So dreams heal us. Okay, they prepare us for life and things that are coming up. They warn us a lot of times about what's going to happen. They also help us to deal with grief. Okay, they help us to grow and mature and progress in life. They help us to understand life. We can get messages from our loved ones through our dreams, and we can also have psychic dreams. Okay, so I know there are just a few that I've jotted down here, but just to let you know that there is meaning behind everything. And I don't know, did I say it to Paul in the episode, but I used to listen to Paul. He used to be on one of the national radio stations, and people used to write into him with their dreams. And I always remember one where a lady wrote in and she couldn't figure out why she kept having the same dream about her sister-in-law. And I remember I was driving at the time and I was laughing about it because she didn't get on with her sister-in-law. And yet she kept dreaming of her sister-in-law sitting in her fireplace, you know. And without missing a beat, Paul just came back and said to her, ah, OK, I get it. He said, you don't like her, he said. And your deep feeling is that she has an empty heart. OK, so the hearth of the fireplace was an empty hearth because she was sitting in the fireplace, but there was no fire obviously lighting at the time. She wasn't dreaming of burning the girl, but the idea or her perception of this girl having no heart or an empty heart was coming out over and over and over again in her dreams. So there's always a message, whether it's from your subconscious or from your loved ones, there's always a message to be taken from your dreams. Okay, so when you think about all these list of things that I've just said above, okay, when you think about all the different things that we get from our dreams, we know then with certainty that we have been given like one of the most powerful tools that we can use in our lifetime. I mean, our mind is so much more complex and I suppose developed than any computer system in the world, okay? That we can, you know, we can use it as a communication tool between the different levels of living, the different levels of afterlife. We can also use it to perceive what's coming up in the future. We can use it to figure out things that have been causing us confusion. I mean, there's so much there. This is one of the most powerful tools that any of us will ever get. And, you know, every dream is important, as I've said above. I do want to say to people, because I hear people say this to me all the time, you know, I've had a bad dream. I think it was just because I had a hot curry before I went to bed or whatever. Okay, so you don't have bad dreams because you ate a hot curry. Okay, so we'll discuss that in a few minutes. Okay, but there's something in everything. It may be a repressed memory from your past. It may be a warning about your future, but it will have meaning. Okay. However, we do need to decode them. Okay, you almost need to debrief yourself in the morning if you're going to figure out what every single dream means. Okay, now that's not possible, okay, because you're not going to remember every single dream. But the ones that you do remember, it is important that you take some time each morning to think about it. Now, I'm realistic, okay, I know what it's like. Most of us hit the ground running every morning and we don't have time, you know, to wash our faces a lot of the time. Okay, we're running around, maybe you're getting kids ready, maybe you've woken up late, maybe you have to get a train, whatever it might be, okay, beat the traffic. Everybody's rushing around in the morning, okay? So what I say to my students when I'm doing development programs with them, okay, is set your alarm clock just for 5 minutes before you normally get up, okay? It will be tempting to hit the snooze button, I get it. But if you can just wake up those 5 minutes beforehand, keep a notebook by your bed, okay? You don't have to go out and buy any fancy journal, okay? Just keep a regular old notebook. Pop the date on the top, okay? I keep notebooks all over the place, guys. I have ones here in my desk. I have them in the kitchen, in the living room. I have them by my bed. I have notebooks all around the house that I'm always, you know, when you get the feeling of something, I tend to write it down because, you know, you can't figure everything out at the moment that it happens, okay? And it's the very same with dreams. So if you can set your clock and manage to get yourself somewhat awake 5 minutes before your normal time, and then just write down the main points. Nobody's asking you to write an essay every morning, okay? You might, you know, just write down five key points that you remember from your dream. So for example, you might write down, okay, it was early morning. I was driving a blue car. I was wearing a red dress, but I had no shoes on, you know? So write down the main points that you can remember from the dream. Things that will jog your memory in weeks to come. Because it's only in the days, weeks, months after a dream that you start to really realize what it meant, okay? And that's why having this list, I suppose, or these points, you know, written down that you can flick back through in, you know, days, weeks, whatever to come. You know, when you get that deja vu feeling or the, you know, I knew that anyway. Okay, and then you have your notebook to go back through and say, ah, okay, so that's why I was wearing no shoes. Okay, so you might come downstairs one morning and maybe your garage where you keep your blue car, you know, was flooded. Okay, and, you know, so therefore, you know, you had your blue car and the red dress, the red might have been a warning for danger. And not wearing any shoes because the thing was flooded. I don't know. I'm making this up as I go along. But just for example, okay? So it's only in the days, weeks, months, whatever, after a dream that it becomes apparent what the meaning behind it was, okay? So you can buy a dream dictionary. There's so many of them on sale, okay? You can buy a dream dictionary. However, I love the however in this program, don't I? However, I would say that even if you buy the dream dictionary, which is fine, because, you know, it's not gospel is the first thing that I should say to you, okay? It doesn't mean that just because seeing a fish meant that somebody was going swimming, you know, to you it might mean that you were surprisingly taken out by a partner to a sea fish restaurant, okay? Something, I don't know. As I say, I'm making it up as I go along. But things mean different things to different people, okay? And different people get different signs for different things. So, you know, reading through a dream dictionary isn't gospel. It will give you an idea or, you know, it'll help you to open your mind as to what the possibilities are, the possible messages behind your dream. But they won't be a gospel. Your gospel will be your little notebook that you keep by your bed, okay? Because, you know, what you write in your notebook will be your symbols. And symbols are always personal, you know? I say this all the time when I'm talking to people about signs from spirit, you know, when we talk about robins, butterflies, feathers, whatever it might be, they're always personal to you. So therefore, the Dream Dictionary, while it'll help you to open your mind a little bit, it won't give you your definitive answer. What will give you your definitive answer is writing down those little points every morning, you know, when you wake up. Now, what you will need to do maybe is to have a second notebook, or maybe flip it over and from the back, then start writing down your symbols as they become apparent. Okay, so for example, okay, say if I had a dream tonight, okay, and a red handbag was the center of this dream, okay, so to me, that would probably be a memory of me being afraid to go near my mother's handbag when I was little, okay? So my mother hated anybody going through a handbag because she used to keep everything like sorted and neat, whereas if I went into it looking for something, I'd just pull it apart, you know? So after, you know, several talking tos, I knew that it was danger to go near my mother's handbag, okay? So the color red to me always means danger, okay? It means that something bad is going to happen. Okay, so knowing that my mother used to get annoyed if I went near her handbag, and that red means danger. Okay, so to me, a red handbag could be some danger around my mother. Okay, because that's my symbol. Okay, so to you, this could mean something entirely different. You may be someone who carried a red handbag when you went to your sister's wedding 30 years ago. Okay, I know a lot of you won't be old enough, but to somebody it could be a memory of, you know, the handbag that you wore at your sister's wedding 30 years previously. Okay, and maybe on the day of your sister's wedding, you know, you were holding her cigarettes and her perfume or whatever for her in that bag, and she spent the whole day looking for you for a cigarette or for a spray of perfume or whatever it might be. Okay, and perhaps that sister has passed since, and this is actually a spirit message, and she's saying, you know, that the red handbag is her calling card for you, as it was on the day of her wedding. Okay, so it's always personal. That's my point. Okay, so to me it means one thing, but to you it could mean something completely different. Okay, and to figure it out, to figure out what that red handbag symbol means, which is actually a symbol for me, okay, I had to actually write it down in my little notebook. And it was only several months after I started dreaming about a red handbag, okay, that my mother was diagnosed with cancer. Okay, so I was able to write that down in my book of symbols and say, okay, well, a red handbag means some kind of danger around my mother. Okay, because I got it then, but I didn't get it immediately. Okay, I'm not any better at this than any of you. We're just all learning together. Okay, so I don't know the definitive answers to everything. I'd love to say I do. Unfortunately, I don't. Okay, so again, I just stress that it's important that even if you do have a dream dictionary, don't take it as gospel. Just use it as a guide to get you thinking about the meaning behind what you're getting in your dreams. Okay, so when we talk about dreams, obviously we all imagine ourselves, you know, tucked up in our bed fast asleep. Okay, dreams don't always occur that way. A lot of us daydream. I know my mind wanders frequently. Okay, you know, people get annoyed with me. I could be in the middle of doing something and then my mind is just somewhere else. Okay, I daydream a lot. Okay. Some people call it daydreaming, some people call it awake dreaming, okay? But no matter what, whether you're asleep or whether you're daydreaming, it's finding that moment, and that's what, you know, your mind is doing. It's finding that moment where your mind is not full of all the other things that you need to do on a daily basis. And I've spoken about this before, okay? So, you know, when we get up in the morning, we're thinking, you know, did I turn on the washing machine last night? Do I need to hang out washing? Did I take something out of the freezer? Have I lunches for the kids going to school? What time do I need to leave to beat the traffic? You know, we have a million things going on in our mind. Did I iron a shirt for work last night or whatever it might be? Okay. First thing, as I say, I always think in the morning is, oh, I'm going to bed early tonight. Okay. So I know that's the first thought every single day when I wake up. But, you know, when you allow your mind to drift during the day. You get many significant messages because, again, you're not thinking about all that humdrum stuff that's normally running through your mind on a daily basis, okay? So it's the same thing. And, you know, we label it as meditation, okay? Meditation is just creating that space. It's creating a time and energy for you to switch off from all that stuff. And as I've said before, you don't have to sit in the lotus position chanting for an hour in order to create that space, okay? You could be walking the dog. You could be listening to a piece of music. You know, you could be sitting in the bath. Whatever relaxes you, this is likely the time where your mind will start to open up to other possibilities and not just the things we're programmed to think about every single day. Okay, so it's just about creating space. And, you know, a lot of influential people over the years have talked about, you know, allowing themselves to daydream, you know, like poets and authors and even songwriters, you know. One of the bands that I follow, I remember a few months back, he had posted a picture of some song lyrics and he'd literally written them on a bar mat. You know, he was in, I don't know, was it a pub or a restaurant or something, and he was waiting for someone to join him. And all of a sudden, you know, he was just sitting there, mind wandering while he was waiting, and his mind started to wander. And these lyrics just came to him. He just had to put them down on that bar mat in that moment, shoved it into his pocket, and this became one of his biggest hits. Okay, so, you know, allow your mind to wander when it's safe to do so. Okay, not while you're supposed to be concentrating on the road or anything. Okay, so when it's safe to do so, you know, also write down those things that come into your mind at those moments. Okay, so just while I was talking about, you know, poets and authors and songwriters and stuff, the only difference between them and you is not that they have more inspirational thoughts. It's just that they, I suppose, work with the thoughts, they hold on to them, they write them down and they work with them rather than just dismissing them as daydreams like you and I would probably do. Okay. So they have managed to use those inspirational moments or daydreaming moments or nighttime dreams as, you know, they've managed to turn them into, you know, success. So if we were to listen to what our mind was giving us, perhaps we would have more success in what we're doing. So don't dismiss these things out of hand, okay? So dreams, as I've said before, they give us lots of stuff, you know. But they are also gateways, okay? Our dreams, some people call them doorways, some people call them gateways. I tend to call them gateways, okay? So what are the gateways to? They're gateways to our spirit connection, gateways to our intuition, gateways to other places, for, you know, for example, the afterlife, okay? And they're gateways to other times and other lives, you know. It's what hypnosis is really, isn't it? It's a gateway. It's a way of bringing out, you know, what's already in there. And dreams can do that too. It's just, it's not necessarily as controlled as a hypnosis session is, okay? But you do get so much from your dream as well that's possible to find out maybe about past life, maybe of repressed memories of something, maybe from this life, past life, life between lives. You know, we've discussed them in all those things in previous episodes. So our dreams can be seen as gateways, and they are a sacred time, a sacred space, time that's just for us, okay? And because it's time just for us, it is a time where our loved ones can communicate easily with us from the spirit world, okay? And, you know, in the early days after somebody has passed, the easiest way for them to connect with us is through our dreams, okay? Because one, their energy wouldn't be strong enough to break through what we're doing on a day-to-day basis, okay? And two, you know, we kind of take a break from our grieving when we're asleep, just for that little while, okay? Your head isn't full of the, you know, what coulda, shoulda, woulda been, you know. It's the, you know, you're just kind of taking a moment out of the everyday life. And it's easier for them to communicate with you through that energy of your dream, okay? So they don't have to learn a new language. They can just give you lots of visuals and pictures. So in the early days, the signs that you get through your dreams, whether you're sleep dreaming or awake dreaming or whatever it is, it's so easy in those early days, and you're more likely to get the early messages from spirit than I am. Okay. Now, so it's important to remember when we are dreaming that there's different kinds of dreams. Okay. Because we have memories of our loved ones. We do. And we quite often bring them out in our dreams, okay, because they're, again, your subconscious or your repressed, okay, dreams. So, or memories, beg your pardon, your repressed memories, not dreams. But those repressed memories, they can come out, okay, so it might be coming up to, I don't know, say if your mother was in spirit, for example, and maybe it's coming up to her birthday. So all of a sudden, you might start to dream about your mother holding a birthday cake, or you giving your mother a birthday card, or there might be a memory of a birthday card that maybe she gave you when you were little or whatever, okay? So all these little signs can start to come up through your dreams, because of course you're aware in there, you know, in the back of your mind, that her birthday is coming up, and it brings up lots of birthday memories, okay? And lots of memories surrounding her. So it is possible to just dream about somebody, okay? And then we can actually have visits from our loved ones in spirit, you know, where they come to actually give us a message to show us that something, you know, is okay. So you might dream about your mother in spirit, and then she might show you that she's with her brother, you know, who passed before her or whatever, or maybe her brother's passed more recently, and she comes through just to let you know that, you know, he's with her and he's okay, you know. So they will give you lots of messages, or they can give you lots of messages in your dreams. Okay. And as I said, my rule of thumb, if it works for you, is that when I feel exhausted in the morning, I know spirit activity is taking place, because my energy hasn't had a chance to replenish during the night, because it's been used by those spirit connections. Okay. But when I wake up refreshed, I know that I've just been dreaming about somebody in the spirit world, and it's the memories. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that just because it's my memories that they haven't been helping me to bring that out, okay? Because, you know, it's important for us to keep those memories, and some of them we may have forgotten, you know? And, you know, it's not beyond the realm of possibility to think that your loved one in spirit knew that you'd forgotten this, and that they wanted to bring this memory out because, you know, it's one of their happy memories too, okay? So that's, of course, altogether possible. It's also possible, you know, I spoke earlier about your dream guide, and, you know, it's also possible to ask them things, okay? So you can ask your loved ones to show you things. You can also ask your dream guide, okay, well, you know, I have this big decision coming up. Is there any way you could help me with it? And, you know, I used to do this a lot when I was a teenager. I don't do it so much because I value my time when I'm asleep. And, you know, I think I work with spirit all day. I take a break from them at night time. Well, I try to. It's not always successful. But I used to, when I was younger, especially a teenager, I used to ask a lot of questions before I used to get into bed. And I don't remember a time that I didn't get the answer. Okay, now it really clicked with me, of course, when I was 15 after Kevin died. Okay, so Kevin was only passed maybe about 10 days, I think. And so before I got into bed, I asked him and I asked my spirit guides. I may have said this before, so I apologize if I'm repeating myself. But because I'd been with him all that week before he passed, and I was helping him get the bike ready for the race. So Kevin passed away after an accident during a motorcycle race. And I'd helped him get the bike ready. And, you know, I was there when he was packing it into the van, and, you know, helped to put on the numbers and everything for the race. And, you know, it wrecked my head to think, you know, did we miss something? Was this accident caused by, you know, maybe I had distracted him and he'd missed something important and everything? And I needed to know what happened and what it was like. So I asked before I got into bed that night. And that night I dreamt it scene by scene. It was almost like, you know, when you're flicking pages and it moves like a cartoon. So it was almost like scene by scene by scene. I saw it in slow motion, exactly what happened, with the accident. And I hadn't been to the scene of the accident. In fact, I've only been there once over the years, and it was many years afterwards when I went there. But I didn't know. I knew where it happened, okay, but I didn't know exactly, you know, the scene of the accident. But when I came down the following morning, and I was only, you know, a few weeks past my 15th birthday, I was very young, and I was able to tell my mother exactly where he'd crashed, how far down the road he'd ended up, and why the bike had crashed. And they didn't know at that point why the crash happened. And there was only a reason as to why it had happened that came out at the inquest 15 months after the accident. But yet this was the reason that I gave my mother it was the 11th day after his accident, as to why it had happened. So I couldn't move on without having seen that. And literally I saw it as he saw it, because I was looking out of the helmet. You know, if any of you have ever worn a motorcycle helmet, I used to ride a motorcycle myself, and you've got kind of this blinkered view, you know. So I saw it exactly as he saw it. And I needed that. And I couldn't move on without that, because I was wondering, you know, was it my fault? Had I done something? Had I taken his attention away or whatever? So, you know, if you really need something, don't be afraid to just sit at the side of the bed for a couple of minutes before you get into it and say, OK, look, I really need this. I want this. I'm looking for this. You know, I've always got it. So if I get it, there's no reason why you won't either. Okay. So it's trusting. You know, I did speak in the past episode about trusting your guides. Trust your dream guide to give you what you need and at the time that you need it, and to never give you more than you can handle. Okay. So if it's not the right time, be patient. Write down in your dream journal the date that you asked them. And then write down, you know, how long it took them to give you that information. Okay, because that's helpful too. Okay, and it will help you, you know, in your recovery or your grief or whatever, to know, you know, I wasn't ready at that moment, but I gave myself 3 weeks and then my guide let me know that I was ready. Okay, whatever it might be. Okay, so again, just to recap, that why spirit visit us, okay, for healing, for forgiveness, for peace, for love, support, encouragement, all that stuff, okay? They want us to not only benefit from our life experience, but from their life experiences as well. And of course, the insight that they have from the spirit world. Now, while I don't mean to keep referring to past podcast episodes, I am aware that there's a lot of people that listen every single week. So I don't want to be rehashing over stuff that I've talked about a lot. So there's a full episode, episode 27. Again, I'll link it below, as to why spirit watch over us from the spirit world. Okay. And the lessons that can be learned there. Okay. So there's good perspective in that particular episode as to why they watch over us from the spirit world. Okay. So just before I finish, I just want to mention as well, okay, that I know it's possible to have a nightmare. I've had nightmares myself in the past, okay? A nightmare doesn't always mean that something bad is going to happen, okay? Nightmares generally occur when we have filled our mind with negative energy. And this is why it's important to live a positive life, to be positive and optimistic. Okay. So, you know, there's various different ways. I mean, we all know how we can fill our mind with negative energy. I suppose the most common one that we would all know about is watching a scary film before we go to bed. Okay. And I love that I pronounce film like every other Irish person. We add in an extra U in there. So if you're someone who's trying to perfect Tom Cruise, if you're listening and want to get that far and away accent right, put a U into a few words and you'll get the accent right. So a film. So don't watch a scary film before you go to bed. Don't surround yourself with negative people. Okay. And it's something I think you learn over the years, is to, you know, set boundaries with people. Okay. But cut the negative people out of your life. The ones that are constantly at you, constantly trying to control you, constantly putting you down. Okay. Cut that negativity out of your life. And if they can't stop it, then you need to set boundaries with them. Okay. Cut negative energy out of your life. Don't be negative yourself. Don't be pessimistic. Be the optimist. Okay. always think of the good that can happen and think of, you know, the things that you need to do for yourself, okay, and not generally what's expected of you. So cut out all that kind of negative energy that you have to do what's expected of you rather than what you want for yourself. Okay, living a negative lifestyle, okay, you know, do you drink excessively? Do you take drugs? You know, I'm not going to say because I'm not the most healthy person myself, you know, I don't smoke or drink alcohol, but, you know, I eat a lot of chocolate, you know, probably could exercise more. You know, I'm not going to say we're all going to be perfect, but you can definitely cut things that make you feel emotionally worse out of your life. Okay. And, you know, playing violent video games as well. I mean, there's many, I'm sure, nice video games out there. I don't get the whole video game thing. Okay. Just something that never really I took to. But, you know, I know a lot of people like it. There's nothing wrong with it. Okay. But the violent ones can put this negativity into your mind and they can be very heavy, especially if you're going to play it, you know, before you go to bed. And it's also, you know, if you're a parent, it's worth bearing that in mind, you know, for your children. We all have children. They all like their PlayStation or their Xbox or whatever other things that are out there. My fella has a PlayStation and, you know, I try not to let him play it, you know, excessively. He's only allowed it at weekends and not too late at night. And, you know, I don't like him to play too violent games. Like, I can't keep him completely away from them. Like, he can't have a sheltered life. But I don't want him playing violent games at 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night and then going to bed and trying to sleep, okay? So, you know, I'm not here to tell you how to parent your children. I'm here to ask you to keep the negativity away from their little minds and from your developed mind, you know, because it's these things that feed into the negativity that comes out in nightmares and negative dreams, okay? So you want to always be positive and it's really important. Now, I talk a good talk. I'm not always positive. Okay, nobody is perfect. All we can do is try and put in that bit of effort. Okay, and we're always rewarded for it. Okay, and if you're going to bed every night, okay, after having a bottle of wine, watching a movie, a scary movie or a violent movie and having an argument with your partner or whatever, and then you go to bed. Okay, it's going to be hard for your spirit guide, your dream guide, your loved ones in spirit to overcome all that negativity that you bring into bed with you and get you the nice, lovely dreams that you're hoping for. Okay, so we have to do our part as well. Okay, so all future fights with spouses have to happen before 6 p.m. Okay, I'm joking, obviously, but it's just worth bearing in mind if you are looking to get a message from your loved ones in your dream. I hope that gives you a little bit more insight. I'm just looking at my notes here and I've written down putting up with a job that you hate is also negative energy in your life. OK, so I should really mention that, too, because I know a lot of us, I used to be in a job that I didn't gel very well with, but I had to get out of it for my own mental health and mental, you know, and physical well-being. So, you know, sticking with things, you know, that you know are bad habits are bad for you. You know, I don't care if you sweep the streets as long as you're happy. Okay, and happiness at work. Nothing wrong with sweeping the streets. Just popped into my mind. Okay, but happiness at work is the main thing. Okay, because if you're going to spend like 6, 7, 8 hours a day in something, that's a lot of negativity to bring home with you. Okay. So guys, I hope that gives you a little bit of insight into dreams. I have mentioned, I think, 3 or 4 different podcasts. So I'll link them all in the description box attached to this. And if you've any questions, guys, any comments, please do let me know. If, you know, you can comment here, okay, on the podcast, or you can comment on Facebook, Instagram, whatever. Also, if you're looking for more in-depth content, do consider joining my Patreon. The link is below as well. I do, at the moment, I'm doing 2 masterclasses per month plus 1 live session per month. It's fairly new, but we've got a few classes in there, and I do post all of the podcasts in video format. I know that I am someone who connects better with video than I do with just audio. So maybe you're the same, maybe you're not. And also, you know, As someone who tends to have issues with hearing from time to time, I do tend to lip read quite a lot, which is why I struggled when everybody was wearing masks. So, I resonate a lot with the video. So, you know, you can just sign up to see them on video on the Patreon either. Okay. So if you've any suggestions as to what you would like to hear about or to have me discuss in future episodes, do let me know. I'm quite willing to discuss anything or research anything for you. Okay, so guys, until the next episode, please stay well and keep safe, and I'll talk to you soon. Discussing everything about